You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker, Kev Gang West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Once again, thank you so much for joining us right here each and every Tuesday on Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and joining me tonight, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami, Christian from Philly. Swami, thanks for being here, my brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Minister of Sinister. This is going to be a good show. We're going to talk a lot of bullshit here tonight that happened.
There you go.
On wrestling. A lot of bullshit.
I like it. I like it already. A lot of bullshit. We've got Albert and Kanye out tonight. Albert possibly will be joining us here later tonight. Kanye is out, and we wish him the very best. He's got family in town, so... Wish him the best on that, and we'll see Kevier next week, hopefully. So, man, there is a lot of bullshit to talk about this week. Lots of news, lots of everything, Christian. How's your week, though, first of all?
It was good. Fucking cold out here because the weather is getting fucked. You know, the weather is fucked. It's almost 30 to 20 degrees and up in this bitch. It's terrible.
Oh, my God. You know, we had a cold day today. It was in the upper 50s. I shit you not. One day of cold, they said. Tomorrow it'll be back in the, 70s. But, we had one day of cold. And then it's going to cool down again, later in the weekend. Back to, in the 50s. Upper 50s, that is. That's our cold weather this year. They're saying we're going to have a light winter this year, which we had one last year, too. Up until that blast in late February, where almost all of Houston was laid out, almost all of Texas was laid out without power. We were actually very fortunate. We didn't lose power but one time throughout that whole week. Understand that people were a week without power here in Texas. Many people. Yeah. But we did not lose power but one time, and it was only for about maybe 5-10 seconds at most. So we got blessed, but it could happen again. You never know. We certainly hope it doesn't. Christian, man, let me tell you, dude. Did you watch NXT by any chance?
Fuck no. I only saw the fucking clips of it. To recap real quick.
You didn't watch the pay-per-view?
No, I didn't. I'm not wasting my time watching that fucking pay-per-view. I already know that 2.0 was going to win the fucking men's War Games match. I wasn't going to waste my time.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how you knew that, but I didn't know. So to me, it was first NXT that I had watched in many years. How'd you know? By the booking?
I knew because it was obvious because they want to disrespect Triple H's legacy. Out with the old, in with the new. So there you go.
Yeah, when you put it like that, as obvious as it was, though, it was pretty exciting to watch the whole thing. I told myself that I would follow up with it tonight, Sunday night after the pay-per-view. I was all hyped. I was like, shit, man, I got to follow this up on Tuesday night and see where they're going from here with this shit. But ultimately, the nap was more important. And I slept, I took a nice little nap before the show. So I'm feeling great right now, my friend. I'm feeling great right now. However, I did not watch any of the fallout. so they say, from NXT. What can you tell me about that? Johnny Gargano?
Well, Kyle O'Reilly had a steel cage match against his former tag partner that tried to betray him in the pay-per-view, but couldn't. It was Von Wagner in a steel cage match. Von Wagner loses, so that Von Wagner wins. So that means Kyle O'Reilly is going to AEW now. He's leaving.
Yeah.
He's gone.
His contract was up, so he's definitely gone.
Braun Breaker, you know, Scott, I don't know, Rick Steiner's son, came out, you know, he said he gave respect to the old team. Even though the new team won, he still gave respect. And the Diamond Mine is feuding with him now, so there's that. And then the rest I didn't bother watching because I don't watch bullshit for fucking 2 hours. Nothing really happened. Nothing really happened that was advertised exciting for this fucking show. The only thing advertised for this fucking show is the secret message, the state of Johnny Gargano in NXT. That was the only thing that was advertised for this fucking show.
And so, what was the result of that? Do you know?
I have no fucking idea. I have no fucking idea. I didn't stick around for it. I don't really care if he stays or goes, to be honest, because who really cares? Either someone attacks him, which I bet you they will. They're not going to have him just have a farewell send-off or anything. I bet you right now, I bet you 10 to 1, somebody came up, interrupted him, and attacked him. I bet you. I'll look the results right now.
I'm looking for them as we speak, but I've not seen anything on Gargano yet.
I'll bet you 10 to 1, somebody attacked him.
Yeah, that sounds definitely plausible. I'm still looking to see. Man, you're right. It is a long-ass show. Dude, it seems like I've been scrolling forever. And
I
still
know,
didn't...
I'm going to watch a two-hour show just with Johnny's fucking message.
Oh, here we go. The reason is... is because, let's see here, this shit had to update, but it just updated, but still, the results is not here. Johnny Gargano kisses Candice LeRae and her dog backstage, and then he walks off. But they went to commercial, so we're not back with the final word on that. So anybody out there listening and you want to share the final word on this shit as to what happened, give us a call, 619-924-0815. All right, Christian. We got birthdays today,
nice.
Man. We got a good batch today, my friend. I know you had some shitty ones last week. Go ahead and bring us in with a theme.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. You're all old fucking schmucks, so you gotta fart shit.
Yes, you're all a bunch of old schmucks. So, birthday today, Rick Rude, posthumously birthday celebration today for Rick Rude, 1958, this guy. Of course, his birthday, December 7th. Someone else who is back in the news recently, although I've been immune. I don't pay attention to her news anymore. Tammy Lynn Sitch, Sonny.
Oh, Sonny? What is it this time? Did she get arrested again? Did she break
I don't know.
Parole?
I just saw her name in the headline like about a week ago, and I promise you I didn't even bother to click on it, bro. I just, you know, it's fucking the same shit with her. Time after fucking time after time and time again. It's the same shit with her. She gets popped for something. She doesn't go to court. Next thing you know, there's a warrant out. I mean, fuck, by now you think she would know. They're going to put a warrant out for you if you don't go to court. Eventually, they're going to catch you. They're going to transfer you. You're going to spend all this fucking time. Just take care of your shit. But I digress.
Yeah, before you do that.
Sonny.
Before you do that, take off that fucking Hall of Fame ring. You don't deserve it.
Oh, my God. I wonder if she still has it. Do you think she still possesses that? Or do you think it's in some fucking pawn shop somewhere?
I don't know. But he doesn't deserve it.
Nevertheless, Tammy Sitch, 1972. Happy birthday, wherever she's at. Another big one today, John Moxley, 1985. You may know him as Dean Ambrose, in case you don't watch AEW for whatever reason.
He's currently still in rehab.
Still in rehab, and of course we wish him the very best and a good recovery. You know, recovery for rehab is like, it's like every day. Every day.
Yeah.
So we certainly wish him the best. We have another one for today. I don't know who this is. ACH. You know who this ACH guy is?
ACH? What the fuck?
ACH. No. Yeah. No, I don't either. 1987. December 8th, which is tomorrow, we have quite a few as well. Slick. Old man Slick. Recently said Vince McMahon didn't want to hire him for whatever reason. Again, I didn't click on the article.
Who's Slick?
Slick. Big tall dude. Black man.
I don't know.
He wore a top hat and a suit.
Oh, yeah. He was terrible. So, yeah.
Slick. You know who else has his birthday tomorrow?
Who?
Michael fucking Cole. He'll be 53 years old tomorrow. Michael Cole, 1968.
Why do they not retire his ass? The guy doesn't see anything right in the fucking ring. He confuses a ladder with a table in commentary. And he's right in front of the fucking ring.
You know, his better years are definitely behind him. With everything so new and poppy now. It just seems like he doesn't fit the mold anymore for what they're doing. But, you know, everything changes except for Vince McMahon. He stays the same, the absolute fucking same. And I'm sure we'll get to that. Jimmy Rave also tomorrow. Enzo Amore tomorrow.
Yeah.
1986.
Interesting. He's debuting in MLW, by the way. Major League Wrestling.
Hell.
So he's back. Yeah.
With old, what's his name? I forget that guy's name. He used to write for wrestling.
No, not Big Cass. Big Cass is an Impact, so.
MLW.
So.
We'll see
how he does over there, you know?
Well, you know. I don't know much about who they have for talent over there.
They basically have, like, old Impact people and then some ROH people, but that's about it.
Yeah. Are they even on TV? Or are they on local TV?
No. You can find... They're on YouTube, so...
Oh. So, happy birthday to him. And, of course, he's going to debut in MLW, according to Christian.
Yeah.
Stephen Dunn, 1960, and that's December 9th. Also, Kirk Angel, 1968, December 9th. That means he'll be 53 years old as well.
Yep.
Of course, we all know his story. Won a freaking gold medal with a broken freaking neck.
He won't shut up about it. It's annoying at this point.
Yeah. We all know it. We all know this by now. We could say the story for him.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Kirk Angel, December 9th. Let's see. December 10th, we got a couple. S.A. Rios and JTG. December 10th, JTG 1984. December 11th, we have some more. We have Rey Mysterio Jr., 1974, and James freaking Ellsworth, 1984, on December 11th. December 12th, we have Sabu and Flip Gordon, who we talked about last week somewhere along the way. And December 13th, Junkyard Dog and Michael Elgin. Junkyard Dog, I remember that guy. I never did like that guy. I never did like that guy.
He was born.
I couldn't stand him. But the people loved him for some reason. I guess it
was
the charisma, the dancing, the who the fuck knows.
They liked him because he was big.
And I can remember some feuds between him and, you know, the Freebirds and shit like that. So I really hated him, you know, because he would always get the upper hand on Michael Hayes and shit. It just pissed me off. I was a huge fan of Michael Hayes back in the day. What was it he would say? He would say some shit like, from the shores of Maine to the beaches of California, baby, everybody knows the Freebird name or some shit like that. Of course, they had that song Bad Street USA.
I fucking knew it. Some fucking Grayson Waller lays out Johnny Gargano. I told you, I just fucking knew it. See?
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I just knew it. 3 minutes ago on Twitter.
Well, it is what it is. I suspect he's already signed a deal and he's going to come back.
Well, maybe that's just his send-off and now he's gone for real. That's how they send him off.
I'm reading the description right now. It looks like Waller guy is got some good heat out of it.
Yeah.
They were even calling him a piece of shit. Nice. So, yeah, there you go. Some guy named Waller, wherever the fuck he is. Kate Gargano laid him out with a steel chair. And stood over him and talked trash and had the fans chanting asshole. And then Waller was talking more trash. He wrapped the chair around Gargano's neck, spiked him into the steel ring steps. Then he cleared the announce table and put Gargano through it with a big power bomb. And he told the camera, if you want some views, come to Grayson Waller. Then he kneeled down over Gargano and he talked some more trash as the boos were getting louder. Fans then chanted, piece of shit, as Waller stood tall over Gargano, smiling as we go to black. Interesting.
Who cares?
Well, you know, I care.
If Johnny Gargano signed a new deal, that's on him. He's a fucking idiot. But if that's how his last night is, that's fucked up. That's kind of fucked up.
I would only sign a deal if I would be like, you know what, man, I'm not going to go to fucking Raw or SmackDown. I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to keep helping the younger talent. And that's going to be my role going forward. If you fucking back out on this shit, I'm gone. I would be like, fuck, that's what I want in the contract.
Well, younger. None of them are fucking good. I don't give a fuck. Whatever. He's an idiot. Let's move on.
Anyway, we'll see how that develops.
Yeah.
It is a developing story. That's it for birthdays,
yeah.
Bro. Send them out.
All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. You're all old fucking bastards, and you smell like 1-2.
Sweet.
lots of history today, but I'm not too sure I want to talk about it all.
Yeah, just talk. Let's talk about four, you know?
Four?
Four or five of them.
That might be too many. Let me look.
Okay.
Let me look for one here.
Let's talk to you.
I'll do this one here. 33 years ago, Christian, WCW presented Clash of the Champions 4. Oh, man. Clash of the Champions 4 Seasons Beatings. And, of course, you can find this on the WWE Network. And this was at the UTC Arena in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It was the first major event, Christian, to be presented under the WCW banner. So, though they were still very much affiliated with the NWA, of course, you know, even though they were flying the, you know, WCW banner and had the fucking, the championship and shit, the big gold. The Fantastics. Bobby Fulton and Tommy Rogers defeated Eddie Gilbert and Ron Simmons to win the vacant NWA United States Tag Team Championship.
The only person I know in that fucking match is Farouk. That's about it. I don't know who the other three jobbers are.
Yeah. Bobby Fulton, of course, was in the Midnight Express beforehand. Tommy Rogers, a name that always floated around. I don't remember him too much. Same thing with Eddie Gilbert. He had notable feuds in the indie feds, I guess you call them, territories, shit like that. Steve Williams, bro, defeated the Italian Stallion. Of course, that's Dr. Death, Steve Williams, not Stone Cold.
That's a waste of a fucking match, man.
Ivan Koloff defeated Paul Jones. Now, in this match, Ivan Koloff had one arm tied behind his back. You can believe that. And he defeated Paul Jones, whoever the fuck he is.
Wait.
Road Warrior Animal. Yeah?
So Ivan Koloff was the babyface in this situation?
And I would imagine with one arm tied behind his back.
That's total
babyface shit, isn't it?
That makes no sense. I always thought he was always a heel in his career.
This is definitely later on in his career. I remember him being a badass heel, man, back in the day. Of course, he portrayed a Russian. I don't know that he even was a Russian. But he portrayed a damn good Russian. Anyway, moving on. Road Warrior Animal defeated Dusty Rhodes by DQ. And, of course, this was to gain possession of the NWA World Six-Man Tag Team Championship. Now, the Road Warriors dumped Rhodes and chose Genichiro Tenryu. Then Genichiro Tenryu became their new partner, whatever the hell.
That is so bad.
The Four Horsemen, Barry Windham and Ric Flair, defeated the Midnight Express, which is Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane. I take that back. Bobby Fulton was never in the fucking Midnight Express. He was something else before the Fantastics, but I can't remember what it was, but I digress. What a pay-per-view that was, huh, Christian? That's the entire pay-per-view.
That's
33 years that you complain about now, bro.
That's the shortest fucking pay-per-view I've ever heard.
Yeah. Like 2 fucking hours, maybe?
Awful.
They were charging probably $40 at the time, maybe $45. And don't forget, they had the fucking hotline and shit. Where you call
fucking
999, whatever the fuck, you know. Shit. I never did want to call that shit. But I digress. Let's see here. Yeah. 25 years ago, bro. Man, I'm getting parched here, man. By the way, I'm not drinking alcohol right now.
Yeah.
Drinking soda water, and I'm about to switch over to water.
You mean Alka-Seltzer?
No, just bottled water.
Oh,
25 years ago today, bro. Yeah, I'm drinking soda water. I just finished it. When we go to break, I'm going to go grab a bottle of water out of the fridge, pound it, maybe two.
Yeah.
Probably two. But 25 years ago today, bro, ECW presented Holiday Hell. Holiday Hail from the ECW Arena in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
It was the fourth Holiday Hell event, bro. The fourth one. But the next to last in the series. The last one would take place 4 years later, just before ECW's closing. Hmm?
Yeah, 2001, yeah.
Yeah, so highlights and selected matches from the show aired on December 10, 17, and 24 episodes of ECW Hardcore TV. And you can find that on the WWE Network, apparently.
Wait, so they showed these matches on four separate episodes on TV for free. So what was the point of the pay-per-view then?
I guess just to jack people their money.
I guess so.
Jack over their money, bro.
I guess so.
The Dudley Boys, Bubba Ray and Spike, defeated Davey Pisano and Little Guido.
Yeah.
Balls Mahoney defeated Devin Storm. Gary Albright defeated Rick Rage. And Brian Lee defeated Louis Spicoli.
That
Taz
sounds
defeated
like
Rob Van Dam. Yeah. A real fucking waste.
So that
just fucking flush my money down the garbage, why don't you?
The only match that sounds good in this show so far is Taz versus RVD. The rest sounds like fucking garbage.
Well, check it out. It continues, my friend. At least it's longer than fucking five or six matches, whatever the hell that garbage from WCW was. Whatever the hell that was. The Gangsters,
yeah.
Mustafa and New Jack defeated Axel Rotten and Devon Dudley to retain the ECW World Tag Team Championship. Francine and Shane Douglas defeated Beulah McGillicuddy and Tommy Dreamer. Sabu defeated Perry Saturn. And Raven defeated the Sandman in a barbed wire massacre match to win the ECW World Heavyweight Championship.
No, I'm sorry. RVD and Paz sound like the only good match in that fucking show. I'm sorry.
That last one literally sounds like a massacre with Raven and Sandman.
they probably beat the fuck out of each other. Yeah, that's not my kind of entertainment. I'm sorry. That's not my kind of fucking entertainment.
It was 24 years ago today, bro. WWF presented D-Generation X. In Your House.
Oh, that was... Dude, I can't tell the difference which one's fucking worse when it comes to fucking faction pay-per-view. Fucking NWO's fucking pay-per-view or this fucking pay-per-view, bro. They were both shit.
They were both shit, bro.
Go ahead and list the matches on this show, dude, and you'll see why it's shit. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? I mean, these numbers are complete shit, too, dude. Live in attendance was only 6,358 people. And the pay-per-views watching at home was only 159,000. Now, this was up from the previous year. However, this show is noted for the finals to crown the first WWF light heavyweight champion of the modern era,
The first appearance of Owen Hart since the infamous Montreal Screwjob, and the first match between Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock on pay-per-view. Now, here's the card. A real doozy, bro.
It's a fucking doozy.
We had Taka Michinoku defeated Brian Christopher to win the vacant WWF Light Heavyweight Championship.
That's horrible. The fact that Grandmaster Sexy was in the Light Heavyweight title picture, and this other guy that I have no who the fuck this is. Fuck.
Yes, if it couldn't get any worse, bro. Then we had the Los Boricuas, Miguel Perez Jr., and Jesus Castillo Jr., and Jose Estrada Jr. They're all juniors. Bunch of juniors.
Yeah.
Junior leaguers. Defeated the Disciples of Apocalypse, Chains, Skull, and 8-Ball. What a doozy. What a classic that sounds like. An instant classic.
Hell.
Who the fuck are these? I don't even know any of these guys, bro.
Fucking hell.
You want to talk about fucking jobbers? I never heard of any of them. I mean, Miguel Perez, is that fucking Pitbull? The singer?
I fucking know.
Butterbean defeated Mark Merrow by knockout at 10 seconds.
What?
Of the fourth round. Well, yeah, Mark Merrow was supposed to be some type of boxer, you know.
Why did they have Butterbean again? Like, didn't they do this shit with Bart Gunn already? Why did they do this again with Mark Merrow? Like, come on.
Yeah, it's the same shit. Yeah, only this time it was Mark Merrow getting beat up. The New Age Outlaws, Billy Gunn and Road Dogg, defeated the Legion of Doom, Hawk and Animal, to retain the WWF Tag Team Championship. Now, I can remember this was the meteoric rise of the New Age Outlaws.
Were they in DX at this point? No, I don't think they were in DX.
No, they weren't in DX yet, but it was their rise, you know, before DX, you know, Road Dogg was getting, really honing his mic skills and shit at the time. You could see it happening. But you could also see, bro, that it was a totally different level of competition when you had the Legion of Doom, who had already been badasses and were already on their way down. You could clearly, at this point, bro, you could clearly see that Hawk and Animal were on their way down. They were much smaller than fucking Billy Gunn and Mr. Ass. I mean, than you know, Mr. Ass and Road Dogg. And back in the day, in the 80s, they were the big guys.
Yeah.
The fucking early 80s and shit, they were the fucking big motherfucking monsters and shit. And then next thing you know, bro, I mean, they're standing in the ring next to the fucking New Age Outlaws, who are legitimately some big dudes, you know, six feet plus and shit. And fucking, and they just don't look real anymore, bro. Hawk and Animal. I thought they got exposed, you know, with some shit like this, bro. Because the guys were so much bigger than they were, man.
What else happened on this fucking show? I'm getting pissed off.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley defeated Sergeant Slaughter in a boot camp match.
Fuck me. This is when Sergeant Slaughter was the commissioner.
And not only that, bro, Hunter Hearst Helmsley had the fucking shittiest fucking music, too. Entry and his entrance and everything was fucking horrific, bro. You remember that shit?
Yes.
That shit was fucking horrible, man. It was horrible. Totally killing him. I can't imagine him being like that today or going back to that shit, but I digress. Jeff Hardy. I mean, Jeff, this one's going to really piss you off.
Jeff Jarrett
defeated The Undertaker
However, it was by disqualification. Nevertheless, he did defeat him.
What the fuck? Even with a decent match, you would think, oh, man, we should have a decent match. No fuck finish. No. 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 It's ended by DQ.
Jeff fucking Jarrett. I wonder if he ended up breaking the guitar over Undertaker's head.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Possibly, yeah. You never know. After the DQ. Depending on if he was face at the time, which I doubt. Although there were times when he was a baby face. I couldn't stand that guy ever. I couldn't stand that guy until he stole Kurt Angle's wife and they had that whole deal.
Yeah.
And I think that was just a bad guy in me that liked that. But I digress. Yeah. Steve Austin defeated The Rock to retain the WWF Intercontinental.
That is the only good match in this entire fucking show right now. And I can't believe their first fucking match ever in this historic fucking feud in professional wrestling started in this fucking dung heap of a fucking pay-per-view.
Right, bro? Fucking pay-per-view is fucking horrific. And follow up with Ken Shamrock defeating Shawn Michaels by DQ.
Oh, my God.
In a WWF championship match, no less.
Oh, fuck off. I don't know what I don't know which is worse. Why did both of the top fucking factions in wrestling history, the NWO and DX, have two terrible fucking pay-per-views? I don't get it. I don't understand it. DX and then NWO.
Hmm.
Horrible.
Let's see here. All right. Tribute to the Troops, which, you know, already happened sometime in September this year.
It happened in November.
Yeah, it happened in November. I was embellishing there. But fuck, yeah, man, it happened early this year.
It happened even earlier if you think about it, because it was fucking pre-taped.
Yeah.
Fucking SmackDown.
Yeah, that's why I said, you know, it happened in September.
Oh,
I mean, it happened really early
this
year. It's nuts.
They had three fucking matches this year, and all of them fucking sucked.
And then they only had three matches, and then they all sucked. That's bad news, bro. 14 years ago today, WWE taped Tribute to the Troops. And, of course, you can also locate that on the WWE Network on the Peacock.
I wouldn't recommend it. They're all terrible shows. They're just like special what-if shows that, like, you know, the babyfaces always win. So there's no point to them.
However, you know, back in this time, 14 years ago today, bro, at least they weren't completely bastardized yet. They were, you know, still filming it overseas. This particular event happened in Tikrit, Iraq. And, of course, the show aired as a special edition of Raw on Christmas Eve, no less.
Yeah.
Jericho defeated Randy Orton by DQ. Jeff Hardy defeated Carlito. Kelly and Layla. Oh, man, Vince McMahon was surrounded by Kelly and Layla on the plane. Versus Maria and Mickey James, which ended in a no contest. Oh, he was hanging around all those lovelies.
No contest, thank you.
Yeah, no contest. Rey Mysterio defeated Mark Henry, who recently announced his wrestling days are behind him. And
which,
in a dark match, are you buying it? You buying or selling?
Fuck no, I'm not fucking buying it. How the fuck did Mark Henry lose to fucking Rey Mysterio?
That's what he said. His wrestling days are behind him, so we'll have to wait and see if he's going to pull another Hall of Pain session. That's how he started out with that John Cena shit a while back. But
man,
I digress.
He's too old, yeah. No.
In a dark match, Ron Simmons defeated Hardcore Holly. And then D-Generation X, Shawn Michaels and Triple H, defeated Mr. Kennedy. Kennedy. And Umaga. Umaga.
Awful. Awful.
So.
Just straight awful. First off, you got the DQ of the opening match between Chris Jericho and Randy Orton. That's awful.
No, it is.
Then
it's awful,
you have
man.
A point.
That's kind of awful.
A pointless women's match that ended in no contest. Then you have D-Generation X versus Kennedy and Umaga. That just sounds like shit. And honestly, awful. This is what the troops deserve to watch. You want the troops to watch Ron Simmons versus Hardcore Holly? Is that what the troops deserve to see?
The watchdog calling him out. Watchdog. Let's see here. I got one last one for you, bro. Who?
All right. Where the fuck was John Cena or Batista or any of the other fucking people like Kane or Undertaker in this fucking show? Why did it have, like, fucking B-list fucking wrestlers on the show?
Oh, fuck, man. The goddamn thing closed on me, bro.
Oh.
That's okay. I got it right here.
All right. One last thing, yeah.
All right. So this one is TNA related. 13 years ago, bro. I might have been watching it this time. Curry Man. Of course, what's his face?
Christopher Daniels.
There you go. Thank you. Curry Man, Hernandez, and Homicide. Curry Man, Hernandez, Homicide, and Jay Lethal, that is. Each one a feast or fired briefcase. Oh, yeah, I was watching this shit. Other participants were Sanjay Dutt, Alex Shelley, BG James, Chris Sabin, Consequences Creed, Cute Kip, Jimmy Rave, and Lance Rock. Jay Lethal's briefcase contained a tag title match, and he successfully cashed it in for the tag team titles on December 16 Impact when he and Consequences Creed defeated Beer Money for the titles. Hernandez
yeah.
cashed in his world title briefcase in January 2009. Huh?
And he lost. Spoilers. He lost. He didn't win.
Yeah, you're right. But he was unsuccessful because he ended up winning by DQ against Sting. Hmm. That had to sting a little, huh?
No.
Literally. He would have had his briefcase returned to him only to have it stolen from him in April by a debuting British Invasion. Now, Hernandez ended up winning it back at Hard Justice in August.
Yeah, and then he
cashed it in a second time at No Surrender in September. And again, he was unsuccessful. This time
he was
defeated by AJ Styles in a five-way match for the world title.
Because he was a fucking idiot. Why would you fucking cash in during a fatal four-way? Couldn't you just wait until the match was over, then you cashed in? Why cash in during the fucking match, you moron?
Yeah, Homicide also had his case, an X-Division championship match, and this was stolen by the British Invasion in April. Now, he would win it back in July on Impact, defeating Douglas Williams in a ladder match. On the next episode, he would defeat Suicide for the X Division title. And Curry Man ended up getting the fired briefcase.
Yeah, fired.
Meaning he was fired, you know.
Now, well, it came full circle because two years before that, Christopher Daniels was in the Feast of Fire briefcase, and he got fired. So that's why Curry Man became Curry Man. So Yeah. Same full circle. Yeah.
ODB, Roxy, and Taylor Wilde defeated the Beautiful People, Angelina Love and Velvet Sky with Charmel. Eric Young defeated Sheikh Abdul Bashir to become the new TNA X Division champion. Christy Hemme, if you can believe this, bro, Christy Hemme defeated Awesome Kong in a TNA Knockout Championship match.
Awful match.
Beer Money defeated Abyss and Matt Morgan to retain the TNA World Tag Team Championship.
Oh, God. Every fucking partnership that Matt Morgan had was fucking horrendous. If it wasn't Abyss, it was fucking Hernandez. If it wasn't Hernandez, it was fucking Joey Ryan.
Kurt Angle defeated Rhino with Mick Foley as the special referee for whatever reason.
I don't know.
The main event mafia, Booker T, Kevin Nash, Scott Steiner, and Sting defeated the front line, AJ Styles, Brother Devon, Brother Ray, and Samoa Joe. As a result of the win, Sting retained the TNA World Heavyweight Championship.
No,
and that,
see that,
of course, was Final Resolution.
That sounds like an awful fucking match, because the stipulation is, if one person of the other team pins, like, let's say the front line, right? Let's say if it wasn't AJ Styles, it was like Brother Ray that takes the pin. They're going to fight for that fucking pin, whoever becomes the world champion. So that's fucking stupid. They're basically fighting themselves while also fighting the other team. Who fucking books this kind of stipulation? It's fucking stupid.
Garbage.
Fucking stupid.
Bunch of garbage.
I'm still surprised Impact is still on the air on TV to this day. I'm surprised they haven't gone out of business yet.
Surprising. It is very surprising, my friend. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about what do you want to talk about on the other side of this break, bro?
AEW report about the awful AEW episode
report
that happened this week.
All right. So we're going to talk about the awful AEW episode. Which, man, it really was awful. I mean, driving me away from the product.
It was awful, but I'll tell you why it wasn't as awful. I'll tell you why I'd rather watch an awful episode than watch what happened on SmackDown. I'll explain after, but it was still awful.
So we got some explaining coming up from Christian on how it was awful, but, you know, not really that awful, but awful. And so we're going to talk about it when we come back on the other side of this break. So stay where you're at, and we'll return after these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Was the lowest rating again, 1.7. So yeah, that's where we have right now, huh? That's where we have right now in the era, huh?
In there.
But not even your fucking tribal chief is raising the ratings no more, motherfucker.
And
there you go.
There's
from
Philly.
Only the Fatal 4-Way Radio.
From the
Fire Cigar Studio in Houston, Texas. You're listening to Fatal Hallway Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned. Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
Sinister. I'm sitting here with the Swami, Christian from Philly, and we've got a report coming up for you. But I went to the fridge to get some water, man. Those beers look awful tempting. They're calling my name, even. But I'm fighting them off, brother. I'm fighting them off, and I've got myself a nice fresh water, and that's what we're gonna roll with. So, we shall resume the program now with the weekly bumper for AEW. How about that? AEW.
And now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly, with AEW Weekly.
All right. Welcome to the AEW Weekly. I am your host, Christian from Philly. I always report everything truthfully, and tonight, I'm going to be honest, last week's AEW was a terrible show. Surprise, I know, but it was actually awful. A lot of things going on. Let's start with the elephant in the room, Cody Rhodes, and the match. Now, I'm not going to say that match wasn't good. It was a great hardcore match. But I think this is, you know, evident that Cody is really, really, really fucking trying too hard to try to be a fucking babyface. I mean, if that spot with a flaming table doesn't say otherwise, that this is a desperate man to have the crowd love him again, I don't know what is. I mean, they boo him everywhere they fucking go. He did get a little bit of cheers, but then the fans booed him again because they realized they don't like him anymore. I don't know why. I don't know what he's done, what has he said to make people hate him, but...
Ouch.
And then his wife comes back, Brandi Rhodes. She comes back from TV a little bit. She comes out of nowhere, lights the fire. She's trying to get, you know, the spotlight on her, too, because she's terrible, too. I'm sorry. Brandi Rhodes has no personality. She can't wrestle. And she's trying to leech off her husband's success and spotlight. So she's decided to put herself on the spot light the table on fire, and then they do this crazy table spot, which was good. But again, it's desperate because Cody wants people to cheer him again. It's a problem. It's a fucking problem.
Bro, I also have to thank also that they perhaps she got a little carried away and put too much of that Ronson, of the lighter fluid, you know, on the table, and not realizing how long that shit burns, because you know that stuff is gonna burn until it burns away. There was so much liquid on that table, you could just see it on the table. Pour it on. I mean, you could. It was really thick. And then of course she lit it on fire. It created a beautiful fucking fire, bro. Beautiful fucking blaze. And then Cody, you know, obviously he missed that mark on purpose, and you know, put his back right through it. Somehow he had the wherewithal to jump on top of Italo, who was also on fire. You could see him burning too on like the top of his stomach or chest area, and then like maybe on his shoulder, because you know that stuff, once it gets on you, I mean, like, I don't know, it was a great scene, but it was not worth the trouble. No. They had less people watching. I mean, it could have gone even worse, bro. You saw his back. But what was up with his back, bro? Even before he went through the fire, he looked like he was fucking flaking.
I have no idea. He was peeling. Yeah. Either something happened on the stage when he came out, or this is my fucking crazy theory, he's practiced this fucking spot over and over and over again before the show went on the air. That's the only reason I could come up with. That he practiced.
I mean, unless he went to fucking the Bahamas and caught a really bad fucking, you know, case of fucking sunburn and shit. I don't know. You know, I thought about that too, my friend. Did this motherfucker, has he been practicing this spot and fucking, you know, he's out there flaking? Dude, that shit was real. Like, he was flaking.
It was disgusting. He should have just kept his shirt on at that point. Like, that was disgusting. Nobody wants to fucking see that.
But nevertheless, yeah, that is, you talk about the elephant in the room. That was quite it. Also, you know, continue with it. Yeah, there's, you know, they had its good points as well. It
yeah.
wasn't all bad, but you know, it was bad.
Yeah. So yeah, Darby Allin and Sting faced FTR. No, it was Billy Gunn, right? Billy Gunn and his son.
Yes.
Yeah. Fuck Billy Gunn. He's fucking shit. All right? His son has more talent than him. The guy is phoning it in. Fuck Billy Gunn. Sting puts him to fucking shame. Why is it that Sting is a better wrestler than Billy Gunn? Aren't they like almost the same age, and yet Sting does more fucking athletic moves than him? You should be a fucking shame of yourself, sir. You should be fucking ashamed of yourself. And you know what? I'm starting to hate Darby Allin too. Because the guy always gets beat up every fucking match. He gets his ass kicked the majority of the fucking match, and he fucking wins towards the end. That is not fucking believable. I'm sorry. That's bullshit. Even with big guys he's facing, he still wins. He gets his ass kicked the majority of the fucking match, and he wins by, like, what, one fucking move? And that's his finishing. What the fuck? That's not fucking believable.
I'm the same way on that, man. And there's a lot of problems I have with the whole booking in general, man. Like, you know, CM Punk had a match against who? What's that guy's name?
Lee Moriarty. The guy had no fucking crowd reaction at all.
I mean, you know, yeah. And then he gives them a good match to boot. You know, I mean, like, they had a long match. It's like, what the fuck is this shit?
It's because CM Punk wanted to put the guy over.
It's not building any storyline. I mean, aside from MJF being on commentary,
he was on commentary for this, right?
Yeah, he was on every. Yeah,
yeah.
By the way, Jim Ross is taking some time off because of his skin thing, skin cancer. So a lot of wrestlers, the top stars, are going to one by one take control of the commentary booth. So that's why. But yeah, MJF was in the commentary, and he said CM Punk was having trouble beating Lee Moriarty. That's not the old CM Punk.
And,
I mean,
man, go ahead.
I mean, I'll give this one an excuse because it's providing the story between MJF and CM Punk by proving MJF that he's right, that CM Punk is getting old. So I guess that's the excuse for that. That's the only
excuse. Yeah, you know what? I'm
going to
let him make it, too. Let them make it on that, too, because even the match was a complete, to me, it was garbage, bro. And it's garbage that they're booking it like that. Where, like, I mean, that should have just been an easy win for Punk. Guy's a freaking nobody. Not to say that he's going to remain a nobody. Nobody's ever heard of this guy. And he's giving CM Punk a really good match. I mean, come on, man. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. Nobody wants to see
so
that.
For the sake of storyline, I'll give this a pass, you know.
Yeah, I'll give that one a pass, too. But MJF has been talking more shit about CM Punk, even. I'm trying to look for it right now. And I like what this guy's doing. He's continuing to antagonize and push that story that Punk is fake, that he's a fucking big phony. And he walks around pretending
what?
Like, you know, he's authentic to everybody in the back and shit. And so it's a good storyline. It's a good storyline.
One interesting thing that needs to be brought up is he keeps mentioning Britt Baker and CM Punk. What is going on with that, you know? Are they, like, teasing
yeah.
a storyline that Britt Baker and CM Punk are having an affair?
I don't know, but it is weird. It has a whole level of weirdness to it. And then also... you know, Adam Cole popping out saying that he's going to, you know, if he does it again, he's going to smack him in the mouth. So
probably,
we'll see how
yeah.
that develops.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Speaking of
this MJF is really antagonizing CM Punk, even in media, in interviews that he's doing, you know, on different podcasts and shit. Because everybody's got a podcast now.
Yeah, well, good. He's keeping kayfabe in storyline, so that's good.
Yeah,
that's
actually great. I like that he's not exposing the business like that. And he's the—I mean, this storyline is good. And
yeah.
I gotta see—he's gonna have to go over, man. What do you think is gonna happen? CM Punk's gonna go over again?
I don't know. Maybe Adam Cole interferes in the match because of Britt Baker. Maybe that's why. You know.
Mm. Yeah.
They're just leaving it for a while.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Adam Cole, Orange Cassidy came out and confronted Adam Cole for whatever reason. And then the Young Bucks and Adam Cole attacked Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy beat the shit out of him. And another thing that I'm going to get a lot of people pissed off, I don't like Orange Cassidy. There, I said it. I don't fucking like him either because just like Darby Allin, he's booked the same fucking way. I mean, it was cool at first that, you know, he did the whole tippy-toe thing and, you know, arms in his fucking hands and shit.
Yeah, man,
that shit got old.
Yeah, that shit got fucking old, bro.
He
yeah.
got old real quick. He's the same
yeah.
way. He gets beat up the majority of the fucking match, and he
yeah.
wins too, so.
Yep. So, you know, we've got a formula going here, bro. We've got a fucking formula going with these fucking wrestlers. It's the same shit for fucking the other guy we talked about, Darby Allin. You know, it's the same shit for, you know, Orange Cassidy. I mean, they have these big matches. Every match is like a big match, and everybody's like allegedly equal.
seemingly. And I mean, I just don't like that thing. I don't know, man. They got to do something, bro. They got to do something because they're losing me, man. They're losing me. The Daniel Bryan thing, though, looks like it could be interesting. Bryan Danielson, yes, and my apologies. The Bryan Danielson thing looks like it could be interesting. So I hope that plays out, right?
But here's the dilemma here, right? We're in a very, very crucial, critical moment here. See, next week is the Winter is Coming show, where Adam Page is facing Bryan Danielson for the title. Now, here's the interesting thing, right? Is Bryan Danielson going to lose his first match in AEW, or are they going to end Adam Page's title run already?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean,
what do they do when it ends because of, you know, interference and shit like that? It's still a loss is a loss.
It's still a loss, but who would interfere in this?
Hey, you know, I don't know.
Can't be Kenny. Kenny's going to be out for a while, so.
Or maybe it's a disqualification because Bryan won't stop beating the shit out of him.
Oh, but then that would make Bryan look terrible.
Well, I mean, in essence, to me, it looks like that's what he's trying to look like, terrible.
Unless they go to a draw. Time limit
again,
draw.
We'll have to see how that develops. But that is interesting, bro.
Yeah. Okay, so Jade Cargill. I have to say this right now, you know. Jamie Hayter and the other woman, Chris Statlander and Ruby Soho had a great women's match. It was fantastic. But I have to say something about Jade Cargill. She's fucking awful. Can't stand her wrestling. She's too slow. She's too big. She's fucking awful. I mean, just because you say you're the bitch does not make you badass. I'm sorry. If that's the best you could come up with for a catchphrase to get yourself over, you suck.
She has a lot to learn as far as her delivery goes, you know, in the matches and all. Because you're right, she is slow in there. You know, you read about things like, you know, throughout the week and stuff, and she was in the news recently and because of that match that they're having. That Winter is Coming, right? What match is this going to be? For some title?
I don't know. They're for the women's TBS title.
There you go. And people are saying, you know, how she deserves to win. You know, and deserves. They're using that word deserves to win. So what are your thoughts on that? Does she deserve to win? And what reason would they have to feel that she deserves it?
Oh, no, because she's big.
She's big?
Yeah, and she has muscles and all that. And, you know, she's bigger compared to all the other rest of the women in this tournament, but I don't think she deserves to win it. I think it would be somebody else. Whatever, I don't care.
Huh.
So what else is terrible about this show? What was bad about this show? Oh, yeah. Wardlow finally had his match. Like, I don't know what they're doing with Wardlow. At one point, they're teasing they're going to break him up with MJF, but in the next, they're not. Then he finally has a match, and it was terrible because it was like a squash match. I'm like, what are they doing with this man? Another thing, where the fuck is Brian Cage at? He suddenly disappeared. Like, that Team Taz shit, nephew with Taz was so terrible.
They have nothing for him, bro.
How do you have nothing for fucking Brian Cage?
They have nothing for him.
How do you have nothing for fucking Brian Cage, of all people?
I don't know, man. Why
then you have Dante
breaking down doors to get a fucking title shot?
Yeah. Then you have Dante Martin in the Team Taz for no reason whatsoever. That hasn't been explained why he joined Team Taz. Like, and another thing from fucking Team Taz is Taz's son, Hook. How long has this motherfucker been in AEW and this motherfucker has not gotten a fucking match yet? Like, why is he here? The guy, the kid literally says nothing. He doesn't cut a promo. He doesn't fight anybody. He doesn't fucking have a match. What the fuck is he here for?
He's
honestly
taking beatings?
What the fuck
is he taking beatings out there?
No! No!
I mean, it'd be different if he was out there taking beatings, you know, like Mysterio.
No, like he's just eating fucking fruit snacks or whatever the fuck he's eating, like sunflower seeds or some shit. He's just standing around eating fucking snacks.
It really pisses you off, huh?
This is madness!
Yeah, like what the fuck? He's just as bad as Dominic Mysterio at this point. I'm like, what the fuck? Stop bringing your kids to the wrestling business.
I mean, Dominic at least is out there taking bumps.
Oh, but he sucks at it.
Honing his craft, so to speak. As much as you hate it. I think this motherfucker's going to end up being a wrestler. You know, he's not going to stop. He's going to keep going. I doubt he'll ever have the success his dad did. He'll probably just, you know, but he'll be a significant
had.
He'll be a significant jobber throughout his career.
Oh, well, let me stop you right there. Taz never had success, all right? He just got lucky, okay?
Oh, I can't stand Taz. Don't get me started on Taz,
kidding,
bro. Oh, shit. So his son's out there just fucking occupying space, eating snacks. Yeah, that's a bunch of shit right there, bro. That's a bunch of horse shit.
Yeah, he's not doing anything.
What else happened?
Daniel Bryan defeated another Dark Order member. So he's facing Stu Grayson. No, John Silver this tomorrow in AEW. Another Dark Order member. Then that's about it. He's going to face Adam Page next week. So he didn't technically defeated all the members of the Dark Order. He didn't face Stu Grayson or the other guy yet, so technically he didn't defeat all the members. So there's that.
How is Brandi Rhodes in the ring?
She's awful, too. She's awful.
Huh. I saw her cut a promo once, and I thought her promo was good. I also, I think she won a match at some pay-per-view and she was beating the shit out of somebody. And I was like, damn, really? Maybe not in a pay-per-view,
because
maybe in a go-home show or something like that. I was like, really? Brandi Rhodes? Yeah. So I have yet to really see her in action and pay attention to her. But believe me,
yeah,
I will.
One last thing that bugs me in this episode of AEW, right? Chris Jericho gets his ass kicked by 2.0, Daniel Garcia and these other two guys. And I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, where the fuck is the Inner Circle? Where the fuck is Sammy Guevara? Where the fuck is Jake Hager? Where the fuck is the fucking Santino Ortiz? Where the fuck are these fucking people?
They're out there partying and shit, taking pictures at each other's houses and shit.
Why the fuck are they letting their leader get the fucking jump on them and getting the ass kicked by three people?
Their old leader, no less? The old lion?
Yeah.
I mean, they should be there protecting the pride as sub-male lions.
Yeah, what the fuck? Some bullshit.
It is a bunch of horse shit.
Fuck off. So yeah, that was AEW, and that was a terrible AEW episode. But I'm telling you right now, when we go to the WWE report, I would rather watch one episode of a terrible AEW than what they did on SmackDown and Raw.
I don't know. We'll see. We're gonna have to see on that. But
now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE report. Swami?
All right. I told you at the beginning of this report that I would rather watch a terrible AEW than what they did on SmackDown last week and this week's Raw. And I'm going to prove to you why.
Uh-oh.
First off, hold on. Mom on the show. All right, so sorry, that was Big Mama. She just woke up a little. Anyway, first, the only entertaining thing that happened this past Friday was Brock Lesnar, right? Brock comes back. You know, he's excited. His suspension got lifted off, right? Sami Zayn comes out, says, you know, Brock, you're the guy. You're great. Then Brock Lesnar comedically bullies Sami Zayn into making the title match tonight because Sami won a battle royal to determine who would be the number one contender for the Universal Championship against Roman Reigns, right? So Sami gets intimidated and he agrees to it tonight on SmackDown, which is last week. So that was a fun segment, probably the only fun segment that happened on that fucking show. One good match, yeah. The next thing was a good match between Sasha Banks and Shayna Baszler and Sasha Banks. It was a good match. And that was the only positives on the fucking show. The rest was dog shit. I'll just skip to the main event of SmackDown real quick. No lie, the main event was Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn for the title. Sami Zayn made his entrance. They cut to commercial break. They do the Raw recap of Raw 2 weeks ago, or last week if you want to count it. So last week's Raw. They go back to the ring. Sammy's cutting a promo. They go to another commercial break. They go back to the ring again. Brock Lesnar shows up. Sami Zayn talks to Brock Lesnar. Lesnar attacks Sami Zayn. Suplex cities. Two F5s. Sami Zayn gets put in the corner. And another fucking commercial break. Mind you, this is 20 fucking minutes, and the match has not even fucking started yet, the main event match. We're in the last 5 minutes of the fucking show. That we come back to the final commercial break. Roman's making his fucking entrance. The Usos help Sami up. The bell rings. Roman hits the spear on Sami. Does the guillotine hold and beats him. That's it. Match is fucking over. Roman retains in a fucking terrible match. And all that was an expanse of fucking 30 minutes where most of that fucking minutes were four fucking commercial breaks. Three commercial breaks. Sami Zayn talking, the Raw
fucking
recap,
horrible.
Brock Lesnar attacking Sami Zayn, and then the fucking match. Roman Reigns did fucking nothing in this fucking show. The only time they showed him was him talking backstage that he was not happy that Brock was going to face him at day one pay-per-view, whoever won the match. And yeah, that's your fucking main event. How fucking, this was fucking atrocious. I don't understand how people are excited for this. I'm not excited for this shit. I think this Roman Reigns shit has run its fucking course. I hate it. I hate how this is going. And this was a fucking bunch of horse shit. Your thoughts?
Obviously, I would like to have had Albert here. You know, it was in San Antonio, of all places. And, you know, Brock Lesnar comes out. He came out to a huge pop. And then, you know, the fans immediately were chanting Suplex City. and shit. And you got a baby-faced Brock Lesnar. I can't stand baby-faced Brock Lesnar. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, bullying Sami Zayn. The whole time I'm wondering, like, how come it, you know, they didn't run into each other, Roman and Brock? How the hell does that happen?
That, oh, no.
They don't run into, that's the problem I had.
Never
I'm waiting for these motherfuckers to you know, bump into each other. They have the, they're all constantly talking shit. You know, it was a perfect time to bump into each other, have a little bump in. And but we got nothing. So that pissed me off.
What about the main event segment and the main event itself? What are your thoughts on that debacle, disaster?
Well, you know, that right there, what I told you about, you know, the whole time, you know, I mean, fucking Brock Lesnar was just in the back. I thought he wanted a piece of Roman.
I guess
you
fucking
know,
so.
I don't know. What did he do? Fucking cut out and take off in his fucking, in his Jeep or some shit?
I just feel like that was a waste.
It was kind of fucking weak.
It was a waste of fucking time to have a battle royal to begin with, because what the fuck was the point of it? What was generally the point of it?
Oh, the point of the battle royal is to keep pushing the fucking conspiracy theory on Sami Zayn.
Fuck off.
Which
Sammy's
I don't know
gone anyway.
If his contract is up and he's fucking leaving anyway, but, you know,
yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. It's still fucking putting fucking lipstick on a goddamn pig.
Yeah. Now we go to Raw from last night. Go to Raw. We begin the show with a steel cage match between Big E and Kevin Owens, a match we've seen already, but instead of a steel cage. Yeah.
You didn't want to talk about any of that fucking Baron Corbin garbage?
No, I'm ignoring the Baron. Fuck Baron
All
Corbin,
right.
Okay? I'm sick of
that. It's fucking pure fucking garbage, bro.
Sick of Baron Corbin at this point. Happy Corbin fucking sucks.
I can't believe
right?
They fucking ruined him.
Every fucking gimmick they give this guy fucking sucks, except for Constable Corbin. That was the only good gimmick he had.
Ugh, man, they just fucking ruined this guy. But awesome. Anyway.
Yeah, so we begin the same match with Big E versus Kevin Owens, but instead of a steel cage, fucking steel cage match is fucking boring. You know, they do the back and forth shit. And then Seth Rollins comes in, he interferes, fucks with them both. Seth Rollins is on the sidelines now. There's one good spot where Big E does the big ending on the top rope of the steel cage. That was the only good spot, memorable spot in this fucking steel cage match. But instead of pinning Kevin Owens, he escapes through the fucking door, because that's a babyface champion right there, escaping through the fucking door instead of pinning the man. Yeah, Big E wins. Seth Rollins attacks Big E, and then he attacks Kevin Owens, but then Big E gets the upper hand, right? So I'm thinking, man, finally, they're making the world champion look fucking good. They cut the commercial. They cut the commercial. When commercial fucking ends, I'm seeing fucking Big E on the fucking floor. I'm confused, like, what the fuck happened? Turns out, during fucking commercial break, fucking Bobby Lashley, of all fucking people, comes out, attacks Big E with a spear. First of all, Big E sees Bobby Lashley going in the ring. Why the fuck does he go back inside the ring to take a fucking spear? Who fucking does that? So he goes back in the ring, takes the fucking spear. Then Bobby Lashley attacks Kevin Owens. And then he attacks Seth Rollins. And then he attacks Big E again. So what the fuck, man? We can't have the champion look fucking strong for like a few fucking minutes. Instead, you have him look like a bitch again? Again? And why is Bobby Lashley in this shit? Are you telling me they're going to have a fatal four-way match now at day one for this fucking title?
Yeah, it's his fucking title, bro.
Well, he lost clean. He had two
chances. At least he's fucking out there fighting for his fucking title, and he's not like fucking Nikki Ass and fucking Rhea Ripley, who just, you know, at least he's still chasing his fucking title. You know, he wants to vindicate himself and shit with these fucking jobbers. I actually enjoyed him beating their asses.
I'm glad he's still a dominant beast. Don't get me wrong, but this doesn't make anybody look fucking good. First of all, let's recap. The storyline makes no sense at all. Seth Rollins wins a fucking fatal four-way ladder match to be number one contender. Then Kevin Owens turns heel, wins by DQ to be added into this fucking match. And now, because Bobby Lashley attacked all three of them, now he's potentially in a fatal four-way? What the fuck? What kind of pay-per-view is this?
It's the elaborate storylines. Have you ever seen what it says, the description of Monday Night Raw lately on your TV guide? It says some shit like characters,
not good characters
fight each other in elaborate stories and shit like that. It mentions the word elaborate.
Elaborate.
And I guess this is I guess this is what they call elaborate storytelling. it's a fucking roller coaster. And I'm still thinking, what the hell is happening with Kevin Owens, with Finn Balor, the way he's been booked lately? I mean, again, you think he's going to get a fucking break. Right when you think he's going to get a fucking break, Finn Balor, after losing, how many matches has he fucking lost now?
Fucking
he got on Raw?
100,
everything.
100 million.
And so just when you think, they're going to lift him up a little bit, fucking, what's his face goes in there and attacks him, gets a selfie.
Austin Theory.
Vince McMahon's new pet.
Yeah.
Goes out there and attacks him and shit. So you got Kevin Owens, who seemingly is on his way out.
Yeah.
Contract is expiring. You got Finn Balor, who most likely has already told them he's on his way out, and maybe that's part of the reason he's just jobbing to fucking everyone lately. And you got Kevin Owens, who is playing his best poker face. You don't know whether he's fucking staying or going, even though I personally think he's going.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he? But at least he's being coy about it with this fucking tweener persona he's going with right now.
It's awful. Yeah.
So that's that.
So we have the RK-Bro Tag Tournament to determine who the next number one contenders for the tag titles would be. If you're looking at all these four tag teams, that's the majority of the fucking tag division right there. That's it. That's all of them. All right? That is fucking all of them.
Dirty Dogs.
So the Dirty Dogs had their chances, so they're done. They're just done. They're still a tag team, but they're done. All right.
Who'd they lose to?
So, RK-Bro, multiple weeks.
Yeah, but, were they in this tournament last night?
No.
Oh, okay.
So, we had another repeat match with the Street Profits versus AJ Omos. AJ and Omos are fucking breaking up. I don't think that's a fucking good idea. I mean, first of all, the guy's
it's
not
horrible.
Fucking ready, obviously. Guy's not fucking ready. I don't know who the fuck's supposed to be the babyface in this situation, because Omos can't fucking talk worth a shit. The match fucking sucked obviously.
He's terrible. He's clearly not ready.
Yeah. The Street Profits fucking win by a fucking count out in a fucking tag tournament. And then Omos left. And then Matt Riddle, like a dickhead, goes to the ring and fucking asks AJ Styles what fucking happened. Mind you, Matt Riddle's the fucking babyface, and he's acting like a fucking dickhead. He's acting like a dick.
That was actually funny. But it was funnier watching Otis lay him out for, you know, being a dickhead.
Yeah, because, yeah, but he deserved it. He was a dick.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
But that's not how you're supposed to feel. He's the fucking babyface. This is fucking ass backwards.
Mm-hmm. I love that
bad.
Otis, you know, fucking ended up slamming him.
Yeah.
For being a dickhead.
So up next, yeah. So up next, let's talk about that match. We have Rey and Dominic Mysterio versus the fucking Alpha Academy. Actually, why even bother calling this a tag match? It was Dominic Mysterio versus Chad Gable, because that was the whole fucking match. Rey and fucking Otis didn't even fucking tag in this fucking match. They didn't even fucking wrestle. It was mostly fucking Dominic and Chad. Fucking Dominic rolled them up for the fucking 1-2-3, and that's fucking it. That wasn't a fucking tag match. It was like a singles match. What the fuck?
It was horrible.
Horrible. Then we go to another repeat match. Nikki Trash versus Queen Selena. Fucking Nikki Trash again, like the loser that she is, loses. Fucking Rhea Ripley, so disappointed. Like, why the fuck am I here? Why am I in this fucking storyline? Why am I with this fucking loser? Because she is a fucking loser. And this is her own fault, by the way. This is Nikki's own fault. She came up with this fucking gimmick. She came up with this fucking idea. She has to suffer the consequences. I'm sorry. This is all Nikki Cross's fault, all right? She came up with this fucking character. She's a loser. Get over it.
I expect that she will... Am I on? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. I can hear you.
All right. I expect that she will be on the next round of, you know, releases. Same thing with Omos. Probably coming right after the turn of the year. Omos is terrible, dude. That exchange that they had last week, not this Friday, but the previous week, I think it was, or the week before, who the
it
fuck,
was
whenever
it, was Monday.
It first started. Yeah, whenever it first started. Mm-hmm. It was so awkward and felt so long. And they were just fucking looking at each other, and like the whole thing was just awkward as fuck. And it's like, man, it was just bad TV, bro. It was bad fucking television. I can't believe they aired that. I mean, that's as bad as it fucking gets right there, bro. And it fucking hurts me to fucking say it, but AJ Styles was in a bad segment that night. And, I mean, no fault of his. I'm going to put this on Omos, man. He fucking sucks, dude.
He's fucking abysmal. And Undertaker says that this is the modern day Andre the Giant.
Oh my God! Stop.
Is he fucking senile? What the fuck is wrong with you? AJ is getting no fucking
credit. You think they're feeding him that to say that, bro?
Maybe, I don't know. But AJ Styles is getting no fucking crowd reaction either. This is fucking AJ Styles we're talking about here. This is getting fucking bad. So, yeah.
I mean, they need baby faces. They should turn him into a baby face and let him shine.
I don't know why he's still a heel at this point. I honestly don't know. So, yeah, After the women's match, a fan, a random plant fan backstage asked for an autograph. Nikki Trash thought that she was so good and so popular that she was getting asked for an autograph. But because the show was taking place in Memphis, Tennessee, who was it? It was Jerry Lawler that she was asking for an autograph. And then she got sad about it. Like, that's a fucking burial. Like, how are you supposed to put people over if you're having segments like that? That's a fucking burial. That is a fucking burial.
It's like they're doing it on purpose, man. The whole thing with her is like they're doing it on purpose. And, I mean, you know, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's been happening for a while. We've been talking about it here for weeks now. Haven't we? I mean, we've talked about this.
Yeah. Up next was Bianca Belair versus.
Why would they do that? That's pretty fucking shitty.
Yeah.
As a
they're
company,
punishing
fucking
her
do
her
that.
Idea. They're punishing her because her idea fucking sucks, bro. This was her idea. She came up with it.
Man.
Turn on fault. Anyway. We had Doudrop versus Bianca Belair. This match was okay. The fans
she's
were into
it. She's the new Nia Jax.
She's better than Nia Jax, Doudrop.
Oh, yeah. She's the new Nia Jax, but she's better. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So this match was decent. Yeah. The fans were into it. But, of course, you can't have nice things because the match gets ruined by the fucking ending. Doudrop just walks away and gets countered out. Nobody looks good in this. Nobody looked good. And, yeah, it ended by a fucking count out. What the fuck was the point of this?
Yeah, I mean, it did leave me wanting more of that. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see the part of the build-up, I guess. But, yeah, it did leave me wanting more. I like to.
So we had Finn Balor versus T-Bar. Finn Balor beats T-Bar, and then what'd you say? Austin Theory attacks him, you know. Then we had,
I thought Finn Balor was going to lose the match for a few moments there. I was like, man, are you kidding me? Is this where we're at? Where fucking Finn Balor's going to lose to this fucking scrape?
No, of course not.
Really, dude? I was like, fuck, man. Because it was one of the matches like fucking, you know, AEW has and shit. One of them 12-minute, 15-minute matches and shit. And it's several close calls and shit. And I'm like, fuck, man, is this where we're at? Fucking Finn Balor's going to lose to this fucking nobody? T fucking Bar? But no. Finn Balor, after getting his ass beat for most of the match,
comes up with a win. Move.
Yeah. And then the attack by, you know, the impressive Austin Theory. Because, as you know, he's trying to impress Vince McMahon. Look at me where I'm talking to you, damn it. Look at me. Look at me where I'm talking to you.
Next that happened, the Open U.S. Challenge between Damian Priest, who didn't even get a fucking entrance. This is a U.S. champion, and he did not get a fucking entrance on TV.
They heard us fucking talking about him, dude. They needed to fucking hear the truth about this guy, and they fucking got it from here. We're the only ones saying it. You listen to these other guys and shit, they're fucking saying how great he is. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. He fucking sucks.
And again, he proves us right. He had another boring, uneventful U.S. title match against Robert Roode. He beat Robert Roode because
Predictable.
He didn't even fucking snap during this match. And he still beat Robert Roode. Fans couldn't give two fucks. Boring. This guy fucking sucks. All right? He's boring. I don't know what these people see in him, but he's fucking boring. He can't wrestle Hartley. And, no, fuck this guy. That fucking sucks. This guy sucks.
He fucking sucks,
awful.
Man.
Awful.
I'm done
then
with
he gets
that
attacked
guy.
By Dove. And then he
I
gets
was
attacked
done with
by
him at least six, 8 weeks ago.
Then he gets attacked by Dolph Ziggler afterwards, so he doesn't even look strong after the match. Awful. Then we had one segment before the main event. We had Miz TV with Fuckboy Miz.
Yeah.
Same fucking character, same promo, same Miz TV bullshit. I'm sick of the fucking Miz at this point. Even for fucking 3 months, I did not fucking miss him. I'm already sick of him already since he came back. I can't stand this fucking guy. There's nothing about him that screams star power. I'm sorry. He may be good with sponsorships and late night TVs. Good for him. More power to him. I respect him in that regard. But as a wrestler, as an entertainer, he fucking sucks. I can't stand him. He says the same fucking shit. He has the same fucking gimmick. This feud with Edge fucking sucks because it's just a carbon copy of MJF and CM Punk. They're not even trying to hide it at this point. They basically said almost the exact same shit that MJF said to CM Punk. Oh, you're fucking old. You're not the same Edge. You know, you're not the same guy. Shut the fuck up. It's the same fucking shit. It's the same storyline, dude.
Awesome.
It's not even trying to hide it. And it's confirmed they're facing a day one. And that's it. I don't give a fuck about this fucking match.
No,
I honestly don't.
No, but wait, bro. But wait. I still am convinced that they're going to bring the women. They're going to
end up bringing the women
in. And, you know, it's going to end that fucking mania, bro. So we've got another, 4.5 months of this shit?
My God. Awful.
It's coming. Brace yourself, bro. Brace yourself.
It will happen.
It's coming. It's coming. Oh, yeah. And it's going to be awful. Who do you think is going to go over? Edge, of course.
Edge is over, yeah. He's going to get over. But
win the match. Him and Beth Phoenix will win the match.
Yeah, like why the fuck? Because
Miz cannot win at WrestleMania, it seems, ever since he won the fucking title. How many fucking WrestleManias has he won after that?
He's won none. He's mostly won like 2 WrestleManias. That's it. That's the only thing I can count. Other than that, he fucking sucks.
He's the same guy. It's like you said, the same fucking guy. I can't stand his
same
coat either. Can't stand that stupid coat he wears.
Same fucking Hollywood gimmick. Same fucking music. Even bringing fucking Maryse back. Like, what the fuck? Come on. Can't believe this guy was
a
fucking
WWE gimmick,
champion.
Man.
Can't believe this guy was a fucking WWE champion.
It was just 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that, bro. Just like 6 months ago, he was fucking champion.
Fuck off.
Holy shit, bro. I had forgotten all about that. That's how fucking meaningless. That's how meaningless his fucking last title run was, bro.
So now we go to the main event. The main event that was building up for like 2 weeks. Liv Morgan versus Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's title. They showed highlight clips of Liv Morgan's documentary, how she needs to win the big one. You know, there's a plant little girl that loves Liv Morgan. They showed this little girl three times, so you know she's a fucking plant. So, she's a fucking plant. And, yeah, the match was awful. Liv Morgan was doing the good parts of it, but...
You know who plays a good plant?
Who?
You know who plays a good plant? Fucking R-Truth.
Yeah.
He plays a good plant. And after he was done with his speaking part the other day, you know, they had that stupid segment with the 24/7 title. And he was a plant. He was a plant, and then all of a sudden he fucking, you know, comes out and shit, and it's R-Truth dressed as a plant. After his fucking segment finished, the camera fucking pans out, and he goes back to being a plant, bro.
I thought
that was cool, the fact that he went back to being a plant. You could see his fucking big-ass fucking white sneakers. He went back into plant mode. But I digress, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the match was fucking terrible. Liv Morgan looked great, but Becky Cringe was fucking awful. There was no fucking chemistry between these two. Fucking Becky Lynch couldn't even fucking do a roll-up pin. Another fucking move she botched was being thrown over the top rope with Liv Morgan. Match was sloppy. And, of course, the obvious fucking winner of the fucking match by a roll-up holding the fucking rope was Becky Cringe. Like, did anybody honestly believe Liv Morgan was going to fucking win this?
Not who once. I never fucking believed it.
Who in the right fucking mindset actually believed that she was going to fucking win this match on fucking Raw?
I mean, I think I said and that the, last night to the fabulous Kitty Teixeira as we sat here and watched it. You know, I never once believed that she was going to win. There's no fucking way. I mean, as good as she looked and everything, I'm sorry, darling. Looks ain't going to get you everywhere you need to go or want to go.
No. She fucking, Becky's a terrible fucking heel, too. She's fucking awful. Like, is she going to do this every fucking match now where she has to hold the fucking rope? That's like basic boring heel shit 101. That's so boring. That's so boring. She's boring, bro. She's a boring heel.
They're setting her up for Alexa Bliss.
No, not even that. I don't even think Alexa's going to fucking win either.
Oh, God.
If that's the case, fuck that. I don't want that either. Fuck. The women's division is fucking doomed. Becky and Charlotte are burying everybody. They're burying everybody. No one fucking goes over.
They're like Roman Reigns out there. They're like two fucking Romans. And those
are
the three champions right there. Because then you have Big E. So you have three dominant champions who are heels, and then you have Big E looking like a freaking jerk every time. The baby face.
Horrible. Horrible.
Every time I see Big E out there, he comes off like a fucking jerk, bro. And last night was the biggest time. Like you said, it looked like they were going to have him win for a little bit. Not even for fucking a minute. Before he gets fucking beat down by Big E of all people.
He didn't... Fuck off. Horrible. So the matches I think are going to happen in day one. This is fucking the new year, by the way. Liv Morgan versus Becky Lynch. Fucking Doudrop versus Bianca. Miz versus Edge. The triple threat match, maybe a fatal four-way.
The Usos versus the New Day.
Oh, fuck yeah, I forgot. The fucking same fucking tag match again.
The same match, yeah. The Usos. The same match. How many times have we seen this match?
4 years.
The Usos. They're not the Usos anymore, Us. Now they're the Usos.
And then Brock versus fucking Roman again. And they dare call this fucking pay-per-view day one a new year? When they're having fucking repeat fucking matches?
It's Get rough, man.
Fuck out of here.
It's rough, man.
And this is why I rather watch one bad episode of AEW versus this shit. Because this shit's fucking repetitive. This shit's fucking boring. And it's fucking predictable. I'd rather watch one bad episode of AEW than this pile of dog shit.
Well, I can tell you something, man. This is going to happen New Year's Day, right?
Yeah, New Year's. Hello?
Yeah, well, I'm looking right now at what games are on New Year's Day.
Oh, okay. I got scared with the silence.
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule to see what games are on New Year's Day.
It's on Saturday.
Yeah. Baylor in Mississippi. Man, I mean, I got to watch. I'll be watching college football. There's no way I'm going to miss it. So, yeah, I'm not going to watch that shit. I might catch some replays later, but I doubt I'll watch the whole thing.
Yeah, fuck it. All right, man. I guess that calls it the day for the show. Oh, there's one other news that happened on this week before we close out the show. Jeff Hardy in a live house show, got sent home because during a tag match with Roman Reigns and the Usos versus Drew McIntyre, Xavier Woods and Jeff Hardy, right? Jeff didn't look good. He was staggering in the match, and then when he finally tagged out, Jeff left the match and went through the crowd in security. There has been no Matt Hardy said that Jeff Hardy is doing fine, and then already the fucking internet and those fucking assholes says it has something to do with Jeff's drug problem or drug abuse or drunk problem, and I'm going to retort that and saying, shut your fucking mouths. You don't know what the fuck is happening. It's not about his fucking alcohol issues in the past or his drug. Maybe here's the simple answer, you fucking idiots. Maybe he's getting fucking old.
Maybe
all
he
those
was
years
concussed.
Of, yeah, maybe
you know, who knows?
Maybe all those extreme high spots and extreme moments he did in the past are finally coming up. So shut your fucking mouths. You're not fucking doctors. Shut your fucking mouths.
Yeah, I mean, no one knows. His brother said he's fine, at least, or something to that effect. But, yeah, we'll see how that develops. Did you see how security ran from all the way across the arena to run, to go, escort him through the crowd? I wonder where that ended. Did it end through him fucking leaving through the front door of the arena and shit? Or what the fuck?
They were obviously there just in case he would have collapsed again on people.
So
then you would have gotten
a
lawsuit right there. Get the fuck off me! Get this motherfucker off me!
Who knows how it ended? I mean, at what point did the security guard fucking let off of him?
Yeah.
Because he ran from one side of the ring all the way to the other. When Jeff Hardy crossed through the barricade, the video was shot from a high angle, and you could see the guy running. He ran from, one side all the way to the other and shit. And, he was at a full sprint.
Imagine
so
if you ran
he caught up to him.
Yeah, and escorted him out,
Hey, I don't know.
I always thought he was going to run towards him. I thought he was going to run towards him and beat the shit out of him.
Yeah. So we'll have
saying,
to see
that's
what happens. He's scheduled this Friday, so we'll see.
I'm like, that's not fucking... I'm going to be like, that's not a security guard. That's a fucking wrestler. He's beating the shit out of Jeff Hardy.
Close ourselves out, bro.
Yeah. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, well, hey, everybody, thank you for listening into Fatal 4 Radio. I have been Christian from Philly. Hopefully, Kevier from FLA, Kevier West comes back next week, and hopefully Albert comes back soon as well. So until then, see you all next Tuesday, motherfuckers.
Right on. So, ladies and gentlemen, Christian from Philly. Yeah, everything that Christian said and then more. Also, check out Pro Wrestling Planet on Facebook. And we look forward to having Albert and Kevier next week, hopefully. And until next time, keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy. We'll see you next time, motherfuckers, right here. Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.